Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you've been following the swamp for any amount of time, you would know that I absolutely love camping and spending as much time as I can in the great outdoors. Whether it be hiking state parks, national parks, or just going deep into random sets of woods, I've seen all kinds of things I can't quite explain. These viewers claim that they have also encountered some horrifying and downright strange things while out in the deep woods. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. You can also submit them on Reddit now at r/thedarkswamp. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours will help keep us going on a daily basis. Now, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true camping horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Haunted Summer Camp Experiences by TF2 Hats. This big Catholic summer camp in the Midwest has been around since the 1930s. I went to this summer camp for 9 years, between the ages of 7 and 16 years old, and in those 9 years, I have not noticed anything too strange except the last year that I went. I was a junior counselor with all my best friends during my last year at camp. This year, the recession hit, so there was a significant decline in the campers. So many of the cabins needed to be in use. Our menial job, when they had nothing else to do, was to go clean them, to keep them from being dusty. So another junior counselor, or JC, was assigned to clean two cabins, Cabin D and Cabin C. Cabin D was the first cabin, and that's the cabin that I had never had been in before. It was rumored to be haunted. Being one of the last campers ever to use the cabin, I knew this was probably not the case, but, you know, the stories were fun. So I volunteered to clean Cabin D. Cabin D is one of the smallest and oldest cabins at the camp. It's around 80 years old, so I knew my job would be short. As I went into the cabin, it was absolutely freezing. And, just to say, it was the hottest day of the year. There was no wind, so it was kind of odd, but I took comfort in knowing that there was nothing obviously here, it was just me. I started sweeping the cabin, which was extremely dusty. After probably 15 minutes or so, I heard what sounded like rustling behind me. I tried to brush it off as a sudden burst of wind from the tree line or something. Then, all of a sudden, the two screen doors on both sides of the cabin flung open and slammed at the same time. Now, that freaked me the heck out. I dropped the broom on the floor and immediately headed out to the other JC, who had apparently witnessed the whole thing from Cabin C. We abandoned our jobs and decided that we could use a much-needed break. Later that night, I was asked to bring back the broom I was using because brooms are high commodity here and are used everywhere, and we only had so many. One of my best friends from the camp decided to get the broom from Cabin D. I hadn't told him about the door slamming shut on me earlier in the day because he would be too chicken to go if I did. So, we get to the cabin together, turn on our flashlights to retrieve the broom, and we see it standing straight up on its bristles by itself. We both look at each other, and the broom falls to the ground suddenly. He walks up, grabs it, thinking I left it like that because it was a common trick. As soon as he walks out, the other door of the cabin flies open and slams shut. We jump and run, knowing what happened was real. We both saw it with our eyes. We ran back to our cabin we were living in for the time. It was maybe only 45 to 50 feet away. I'm cutting the story short here because, honestly, there's no more reason to throw a bunch of filler detail out there. Honestly, they watched to make sure none of us were wasting anybody's time. They went in there and checked it out, never found anybody. But I always felt an eerie feeling walking by that place. I know what we experienced that night, and I know it was something not of this world. A Spooky Camping Story by Anonymous. For some background, from 1993 to 1998, I attended a Christian youth camp for girls every single summer. The camp lasted for 4 days and three nights. There were about 200 girls at the camp, about a 1.5 to 2 hour drive from our homes. Some of the camping areas were tent only, others had A-frames, and at least one of the camping areas had longhouses or cabins. The campground is called Ensign Ranch. You can look it up online and see quite a few different camping areas and pictures that are around there. Overall, it's a safe campground, and we have a lot of fun there every year. In the evenings, we would tell spooky stories typical for youth camps. On the last night of camp in 1996, I would be about 15 at the time, there were several of us girls on the top of the level of our longhouse. It was basically a two-story cabin-type thing. It was past bedtime, so we were quietly telling scary stories. I had said a couple, one of which, with the help of a friend, I'll call her name Lily. I don't remember the specific stories from the night, just typical, "and the hook was hanging from the car door" type stuff. After a couple of hours of spooky stories, someone else was talking, and I was exhausted and could hardly keep my eyes open. Then some of the girls asked me to tell one more story. So I did my best to tell something, making it up as I went. Just a typical, on a night in the woods not far from here, type of beginning. The next thing I knew, I woke up, lying flat on my back. As I woke, I realized I was still talking, but I couldn't remember what I was saying or trying to say once I became awake. I was fully awake then, and I finished lamely saying something like, "they all died," the end. I looked around at the girls, all staring wide-eyed at me. A couple of the girls were quietly crying, their mouths open in horror and tears streaming down their faces. My friend Lily whispered, "that was the creepiest thing I ever heard." The girls who weren't crying nodded in agreement. I said I was tired and we should all go to bed. As all the other girls moved away into their sleeping bags, I asked Lily and the other girl, I'll call her Sarah, what I had said. I told them I had fallen asleep and couldn't remember anything. Lily and Sarah exchanged glances and paused before saying, "that just makes it worse." Sarah nodded in agreement and said she didn't really want to retell it because it was that creepy. Now at this point, if it had just been Lily or one of the other girls that were in that group, I wouldn't have thought about it. I probably would have just thought they were messing with me. But every single girl after that had the same story, and they were all kind of scared of me. I even got in trouble and some sort of punishment for scaring some of the girls because they got scared in the middle of the night and went to see a counselor for help. To this day, I honestly have no idea what creepy story I told. No one there has ever been willing to tell me any details. And several years afterward, Lily told me that she would randomly have nightmares because of it. Something Horrifying at Camp by Chora Queso. To give context, I'm from a small country in South America. I attended a religious school growing up, and every year you go to this sort of spiritual getaway in a camp situated in an open field next to a small river, in this sort of forested mountain area. It's said that this place is beautiful, but it's always given off a weird vibe, as it's lost in time due to its very old structures and outdatedness. Because of this, the place has been shrouded in mysteries and horror stories. It also doesn't help that the whole town was once burned to the ground in a very gruesome war that almost wiped my country off the map in the 1800s. So here's what happened. It was my last year in the school, our last camp we would ever attend. After a long day, all of my class was tired from hiking the forest next to the camp. so after dinner and a short stay at the campfire, we were all down to go to bed. My class was made chiefly of women. We were very few in men, only 6 including myself, so we had the whole dorm hall. This dorm, which was housing only about 16s at the time, was a long hall full of bunks made for at least 40 or more people. Since we didn't have to share, we all chose top bunks next to each other, 3 on my side including me and 3 on the row facing me. It was about midnight, and we would just be lying there, talking, joking, and laughing in the dark since the lights were out after a couple of minutes. Eventually, we would all kind of fall asleep, and that night was no real different. I woke up at the time, for what I assume was somewhere between 2 and 3 a.m. I raised my head from the sheets to see my best friend in his bunk in front of me, also raising his head. He nodded jokingly to the bunk next to him where another classmate was sleeping. When I turn, I see the silhouette of my classmate just standing, staring at his bed. I kind of laugh and quietly nod to my friend as to play a prank on him. Then before we could act, I see the silhouette crouch and notice that my classmate was already asleep in his bed. Almost at the same time, my friend and I reacted and looked at each other wide-eyed, both of us covering ourselves in our sheets, doing our best to try not to be noticed by whatever or whoever this was. But somehow, we managed to fall asleep. The following day, I went straight to my friend, and before I could finish asking if he saw it, he interrupted with, "Yeah, I saw it," and he told me exactly what he saw. It was the same thing that I just described. We approached this classmate and explained it to him. Of course, he thought we were joking. Both I and my friend remember the events to this day, talking about it every now and then, almost 7, maybe even 8 years after it happened. Stranded While Fishing by I Can't Spell There. I live in South Florida. I am a natural outdoorsy type of person. I like to walk around in the woods in my area, go fishing, do four-wheeling, etc. I tend to go fishing alone despite my parents always telling me not to, and I usually tell them where I'm going. I often go to places in the middle of nowhere, mainly in fields with little ponds and canals to fish in. I can't remember what exact month it was, but it was back when it got dark around 5:30 to 6 p.m. One day, I decided to pack my poles up and go fishing in this field about 30 minutes from my house. But being that I lived in a small town, that could be quite far, to say the least. I was fishing in a spot relatively close to the road near the entrance, and I was gradually making my way down. Mind you, I know this spot very well, so I know how to get in and out of it. It's like a maze of connecting canals and fields. It's 3:30 and I'm catching fish and getting pretty lucky. But as all anglers know, sometimes the bite wears off, and you move to another spot. So I'm moving further from the entrance, and I remember specific landmarks to remember where I'm at, whether it be an old tractor or a rundown building. Remember when I said I know this place reasonably well? Well, I remember parts that I always go to. I probably should have said that at the beginning, but here we are. So I'm getting to an unfamiliar area, but it's still daytime, so I figured I could remember new landmarks to help me when I'm ready to go. At this point, it's about 5:45, and I'm trying one last spot before I leave. But this spot is in the midst of 2 different fields that I'm not very familiar with. As I'm going to the site, I hear a hissing sound, like it's coming through the fields, but I brush it off, thinking that it's probably just the music that I'm blasting really loud, or maybe the terrain I'm driving on. So I stopped halfway to the spot to stop and fish again real quickly, but didn't get a single bite. I packed my things, so as I got to the car and reversed the car, I heard a strange noise and noticed the tires were hard to turn. I got up and saw my front 2 tires were completely flat. Mind you, I'm in the middle of nowhere with 2 flat tires in the woods. Oh, and did I mention that it was now nighttime? I was never afraid to freak out, but I did get worried. I picked my phone up to call my dad, but to no avail. I had no service, and I couldn't even get an SOS out. That made my heart stop for a bit, because around this area, many bobcats run around these fields. So I just got in the car and began nervously brainstorming on what I should do. I couldn't drive anywhere because of my tires, or call anyone. So I'm looking around the car. Sometimes my dad would use my tire pump and would leave it in my trunk. So, on my last glimmer of hope, I checked the box, and Lord behold, my tire was in the chest. And what made it even better is that it was USB powered, meaning I didn't have to plug it into an outlet. so I hooked everything up and started pumping the tires, which took quite some time, probably about an hour. Once they were finally fully pumped, I checked to see what caused the flat. I couldn't see anything. However, I did hear the hissing sound that I had heard earlier. I learned that the hissing sound was the sound of my tire losing air. Thankfully, it was a slow leak, so my tire would retain the air just long enough for me to make it home. Now, the only problem is I didn't know where I was, so I was moving around as people did back in the day, you know, carrying your phone around in the air hoping to get a signal, and eventually I did. As soon as I did, I Google mapped my way to find the entrance, and from there I remembered where I was and how to get home. I also forgot to mention that I never told anybody about this. I didn't tell my parents that I was going here this day. It's not something I would normally do, but, you know, I made a mistake this time. So I think what I really learned was always carry a tire pump in your car and always tell someone where you are, because I don't know how my tires were popped. I don't know if somebody stabbed them. I don't know if I ran over something on my way in, but it was definitely a scary situation, and I'm just glad I kept a level head and figured out a way to get home.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bulgarian Cabin Experience by Elat. My family owns a cabin in the mountains of Bulgaria. It is my favorite place to escape the summer. My friends from university have a tradition of going there every August for a few days of excessive drinking. However, until last year, we have not experienced anything out of the ordinary per se. On this particular trip, though, I decided to hire a local man. There was a uranium mining operation in the past close by that was closed down sometime in the 90s, but the workers, about 50 people, still lived in the mining town to paint the tin roof of the hut. Now, there are tales of inbreeding and all kinds of weird stuff going on out in this area. So when I met the man, I had a slight chill for a moment when we spoke with him. He was clearly an alcoholic and didn't seem all there. His face was weathered and he was dirty. Anyway, after doing the job, I paid him, gave him a bottle of rakia, which is a traditional Bulgarian alcohol, and he went on his way. After that, me and my friend spent the rest of the night drinking around the campfire. Then, sometime around midnight, the uneasy feeling of being watched from the woods began to wash over me, which was too bad because I had to visit the bathroom, which, in this case, was an outhouse right next to the woods behind us. So I tried to brush off my paranoia and did whatever I could to stave it down deep so I could get some courage. I went out, and not even a minute afterwards, someone was banging on the door, which I thought it was one of my friends playing a prank on me. Hence, I called out to them to knock it off, and imagine my surprise when they answered from a distance. At that moment, the person on the other side got more adamant and put a knife in the door's crack. This is when I called out for help and turned on the flashlight on my phone. To which the person on the other side of the door retracted the knife and fled up the hill. My friends were scared absolutely out of their minds, but rushed to my aid nonetheless. Sadly, the perpetrator had fled before they got to me. Afterward, we went into the cabin, grabbed all of our stuff, threw it in the car, and we have not gone back since. I haven't told anyone about this yet. I don't know what that man wanted. I really don't, but I'm terrified. I used to go to the mountains every year, multiple times if fate would allow it. There's something so peaceful about feeling isolated from the rest of the world. I don't have to look down at my phone and worry about bills or keeping up with my friends. For a brief window of time, it's just me and what the world has created. Every year, I would visit the town of Estes and stay overnight, so I could grab an early start and avoid as many people as possible. It had gotten to the point where I was recognized and formed friendships with some of the locals. Most anyone working at the diners, where I got some fuel before heading up the mountain, probably knew who I was. My car and I would traverse the Trail Ridge Road. Stopping on the viewpoints along the road, I would observe the wildlife. Rolling green would lay out in front of me, dotted with the remnants of snowfall. I would make sure to stop at every given opportunity and take a few good breaths to slowly acclimate myself to the higher altitude and lower intake of oxygen. That's what I used to do anyways. I haven't been back there in a few years now. I think it was 3 years ago now that it happened. It's hard to keep track anymore. I try not to think about it too much. I've had issues with the memories popping back up without much cause and sending me into a fit. My chest gets all tight and it's hard to breathe. I swear, whenever it happens, I can hear its footsteps. But I'm getting ahead of myself. My therapist that I started seeing following the event told me it might be a good idea to get it out, write it on paper, or tell people my story. So that's what this is. I have no idea if something like this will help, but at this point I'll try anything. I'd love to finish telling my story and be able to get an uninterrupted night's sleep. So, 3 years ago, like I said, if I ever got the opportunity, I would go back multiple times in a year. And as fate had it, that was such a year. I had a decent chunk of vacation time saved up at work, so I decided to take an extra holiday for myself. Everything went about as you'd expect. It was warmer than normal, as I try to go in the quarter months usually. I got into town the same as always. I booked nearly the same room in the same hotel as the last time I visited and threw my stuff into the hotel room. Before heading to bed, I made sure to plot out my intended traveling so I could show someone where I was planning to go. I had been there so many times, and as beautiful as everything was, I liked to try and go off the beaten path when I could. In the event something happened to me, I wanted people to know where I was. That's exactly what I did the next morning. I was greeted by the workers at the local diner and made sure to show them the map, telling them when I expected to return. With enough fuel to get me through most of the day, I headed out. The first place I wanted to go was a decent drive up Trail Ridge Road, Lulu City, a place I was surprised that I'd never gotten around to visiting. Pulling onto the side of the road, I sat at the shoulder looking at the elevation between me and the town. A town that had diminished into a small portion of the horizon. Turning the car off and locking it, I was pleasantly surprised to find myself alone on the trail. The fewer people that were around me, the more connected to the environment I could feel. It's like when you watch a movie in the theater. You're so much more immersed when it's quiet. Just a few chattering conversations can taint the entire experience. They say with hindsight, it's much easier to see the red flags. When I think back, though, it's hard for me to tell where my first sign to turn back really was. You'll hear a lot of sounds walking through the forest, and sounds travel pretty far. So it's hard to say what's unusual and what isn't. Even if you've heard something hundreds of times, it can sound alien. I remember as I was walking the trail, I heard what sounded like several booms from a distant thunder. The noise happened in rapid succession, like the beating of drums, though the weather hadn't called for such noises. At the time, I thought it could have just been the snapping of a nearby tree and the resulting noise of it was smacking into the ground. I ignored it and continued on my path, feeling the mountain air fill my lungs surrounded by trees, all by myself. There was the occasional skittering of wildlife. I even came across a large print in the middle of the trail. I assumed it to be a bear, as black bears have been spotted near the trail. It's a nearly 4 mile hike, which isn't all that bad as the elevation didn't climb too much. Around 2 hours after I had initially set out, I found myself looking at the old sign for Lulu City, an old mining town that had been abandoned in the 1800s. I walked slowly through the place. There were old cabins around the area and various plots of land that once served as foundations for more homes.
It was incredible to sit in a ghost town, nestled near the Rocky Mountains. It was almost as if the place had pushed them out. From the little research I had done, it seemed like the profit margin for the silver they were mining just wasn't enough to justify the town. Though, knowing what I know now, I can't help but wonder if something else was at play all those years ago. I looked around for a while at the large open area where the town used to sit. There were around 40 cabins at the town's prime. All that remained were the remnants of three, a few building sites, and a sign for the town, citing the population was at 200 people. I sat down for a moment, leaning my back against the tree, looking at the area surrounding me, pouring some water down my throat. I watched the tree line. There was this creeping sensation you get when someone is staring at the back of your head. I felt that, but it was like I knew where the feeling was coming from, but I couldn't quite see it. As I was focused on an area of trees where the paranoia was stemming from, I noticed a shadow moving. I had thought at first it was just a dark area where the sun had difficulty getting through. As the shadow shifted, however, it was revealed there was just a dark mass blocking my view. My initial reaction was to just assume the figure was a black bear or an elk, but it was hard to convince myself of that as the shadow reached far too high off the ground. Either way, I just sat and watched. I wasn't about to call any attention to myself, especially if my initial reaction was correct. I had bear mace and the likes, but if I could avoid using it, I would rather do that. With the shadow retreating into the woods, I stood slowly from my spot and decided to exit Lulu. As I turned around, I heard a familiar cracking of trees. This time, however, the sound continued for a good minute or two. It was as if the drums of war had been rung and a warning was shooting through the mountain. I wondered if anyone on the other trails were able to hear the noise, as it was so loud that it made me cover my own ears. As I started retreating from the noise, it stopped, and as I reached the exit to Lulu City, I saw a shadow once more. This time it was much closer to me. I was able to make out more about it, part of its dark structure being the antlers atop its head. They weren't the same jagged and pointy antlers that decorated the indigenous elk around Rocky Mountain. They were more solid, resembling that of a moose's. They were much larger than any pair I'd seen before, though. Large enough to shovel the snow out of the driveway in one go. I backed up a bit, hearing the foliage bending and cracking under my footsteps. I honestly did not know how to approach the situation, because I did not know what I was looking at. The thing was still shaded by the trees, and I couldn't make out its body structure other than it being massive. I wonder how something of that size was able to move so quickly through the trees. Then I caught a glimpse of the eyes it was using to watch me. It was only when shreds of light reflected off of them. The first two shimmering orbs appeared from under its antlers, and then to my shock, another set of lights, fainter than the ones above them, appeared. It was uncanny. Looking at something with such a familiar shape, yet I couldn't decipher what the thing was, or what it wanted from me. I didn't want to keep staring, in case it took direct eye contact as a threat. Averting my gaze, I listened to the creature stumbling around before the commotion caused by their movements dissipated into the foreground. With the noise of that thing distant, I turned back and saw no sight of the thing. I decided it was best to leave the area quickly and quietly. I thought the thing might consider Lulu City its territory and was giving me a stern warning. I started walking back, ready for the easy hike. Watching the dirt path at my feet, I came across a fresh footprint. It was massive. Putting my foot into it revealed that my foot didn't even make up half the size of one of its toes. The thing was massive and heavy. I didn't want to call my trip short, so as I walked the trail back to my car, I thought of just going to the next spot ahead of schedule. I always try to end my visits by looking out over Bear Lake. It's just so pristine, it's hard to ignore. I kept my eyes on the trees the whole time, making sure that some hulking shadow wasn't lurking. Before I knew it, I was exiting the trail and climbing into my car, with a hum, and the vehicle sprang back to life. It wasn't too long before I had gotten to as far as my car would take me before I had to stop and walk the rest of the way. Surprisingly, once again I found myself alone. There were a few other cars where I parked, but once I got to the lake, I didn't see anyone else in the trails. It felt like everyone had been scared off. Bear Lake is normally a pretty popular spot for people visiting. I had the feeling like I was missing something, like everyone else got a memo that I didn't. I sat for a while on a large boulder by the side of the lake, watching the winds ripple small patterns over the smooth surface of the water. It wasn't often you could go there and not hear the howling of screaming children and their parents, so I intended to soak as much of it in as I could. As I sat there, I could see the line of trees on the other side of the lake. The tops of them created an ocean of green that only surrendered to the peaks behind them. I watched that ocean of green sway like a hurricane was sweeping through them. The treetops moved and buckled as I heard familiar smacking noises begin to get louder. The realization dawning on me that whatever I had seen before wasn't warning me. It had been following me and continued to do so as I left the site. I had driven there, though. I thought it would be impossible for that thing to be able to have made it here so quickly. With the shifting of the treetops getting closer, I slowly rose to my feet when I saw something eject from the top of the trees. It hung in the air for a moment before crashing down into the lake before me. It was brief, but I saw the object enough to know that the thing had flung a rock rather large, probably bigger than my body, like it was nothing. I started stepping backward when my ankle rolled on a rock and I fell backward, crashing to the ground. My elbow made contact with the hard surface, pulling apart the fabric of my sweater and slicing through my skin. Quickly, I opened the small first aid kit I had brought with me, hearing the thunderous noise getting closer. I poured my drinking water onto the wound and wrapped it with a bandage. As I finished tending to the small wound, I noticed that the noise had halted. Slowly, ignoring the pain in my ankle and the stinging on my elbow, I looked over the rock to see. The trees were no longer swaying, only moving with a gentle push of the wind. That's when I heard a noise to my right. A huff. Turning slowly, avoiding sudden movements, I saw the beast that had been watching me. I saw it bathed in the sun. Every detail. This thing was some twisted amalgamation. It dwarfed me in size. I could have been twice as tall and still not met it eye to eye. I did not know what I was supposed to do, if I was supposed to run or stay still. I watched its pitch-black fur ruffle as it took a step towards me, offering another huff out of the bear-shaped nose. Its whole head reminded me of a bear, except for the angular structure around its eyes that looked more like a buck. Four stern and focused eyes, all of varying shades of amber, peered toward me. Its body, again, was reminiscent of a bear that had a bizarre length to it, almost like its belly was dragging against the dirt. If it wasn't for the massive paws pushing down into the ground, the thing would topple over. It moved its head back and forth, shaking its whole body. Small clicking groans emitted from the open jaw, a jawline with thick and sharp teeth. My reasoning was starting to go out the window, and the urge to just run and get the heck out of there was mounting by the moment. I was backing away and had noticed I was making it back to the trail, but the creature matched my movements. We were both surrounded by trees, and the thing started moving its head side to side, smacking its large antlers onto the nearby trees. As it did, the tree's bark ripped free, exposing lighter tones. As close as I was, the smashing of the massive antlers against the trees was like a shotgun going off next to your ear. It caused me to hold my hands over my ears as I tried to back away. I wanted to run, but the moment I put too much pressure on my ankle, I knew I would buckle, so all I could do was continue to back away hopping and just hope that it wouldn't charge. It just kept walking forward, smacking one tree after another like it was trying to intimidate me. I watched amazed as if its large frame bulldozed through the trees like it was nothing. I don't know what I did to upset it more than I already had, but the clicking noise from its mouth picked up and it charged at me. The ground was trembling under the thing's footsteps, and before I had time to process what was happening, an antler made contact with me. The memories get all foggy from there. I remember being shunted to the side, my legs colliding with a tree, and I spun out into the bush. Nearly unconscious, I laid surrounded by dirt and leaves as the bear-like creature approached me. It smelled me, interested particularly in the blood spilling out of my legs where the bones had broken on impact. I got a good look at its eyes before I passed out. One was a set of eyes that you'd expect to see on a mammal, while the others were more lizard-like. Those eyes were the last thing I saw before passing out. It was a miracle I ever made it out of there. Some other visitors had heard the commotion and headed over to find me passed out. They stopped my bleeding and got me to the hospital in Estes. I wish I could go hiking still. I'm not afraid of running into that thing again, but my legs were beyond repair, and I haven't been able to walk ever since. I still think about that creature. I did as much research as I could, but never found anything that looked like that thing. Some monstrous combination of a bear and elk. I wondered if that was the real reason Lulu City was abandoned. Maybe. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't think I'll ever know. Sometimes, I hear the clicking noises it made. Every thunderstorm I hear makes me think about the creature bashing its head into the trees. Maybe it did that as a show of strength, like when bucks smack their antlers together. I don't want to believe that's true, though, because I couldn't imagine what a behemoth like that needs to prove its strength to. What other secrets could the Rocky Mountains contain? Are there more of those things there? Or perhaps another manner of beast? Every night I go to sleep, I look out my window. I think of those four eyes peering at me through the dark, waiting to finish what they started. I'm not sure if I'll ever feel better having written this all out. Reading it as I go, I almost don't believe it myself. Maybe I'll feel better if I just convince myself nothing ever happened. That I just fell and tumbled hard enough to crack the bones in my legs like twigs. Maybe then, I'll be able to get some sleep.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true camping horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, be sure to hit that like button so it knows you mean it. The more likes this episode gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes, and that's incredibly helpful. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications as I upload new videos multiple times a week on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you all. Currently, I'm about to be going on tour with my band. If you're a fan of metalcore music like For the Fallen Dreams, Architects, Bring Me the Horizon, and more, be sure to check out our music. You can find a link in the description down below. We will be playing a couple of shows in the Carolinas and Florida. If you're in the area, I'd love to see you. Ticket information can be found down below. Tickets are selling fast, but I would love to meet you guys. So, I'll see you then.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes, too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.